Joe Haggerty from Comcast Sports in Beantown joins us. Joe, welcome back to the show, my man. Turning out to be quite the race in the Atlantic Division amongst those three teams.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's all bunched up. It's been like that to greater or lesser degrees for quite some time now. And, you know, really this is the only time this season now, basically since the trade deadline, that the Bruins have, you know, gotten on top of those other two teams and gotten at the top of the division. You know, within the last couple of weeks, that was the first time that they had been in first place all year, and they'd sort of been always chasing and always going after, whether it was Florida or Tampa or Montreal earlier in the season, and never feeling really satisfied with their game or that they were seeing any progress. But making the trades that they did at the deadline, really improving their team. I think they're a better Bruins team now after bringing in those two players that really plugged a couple of weaknesses in the lineup. And you've seen it bear out in the results. They've beaten some pretty good teams, and now all of a sudden they're in first place and second in the conference. So I guess the old cliche is they're peaking at the right time.
Which play, you know, Marchand's had an unbelievable year for them offensively. They're 7-1-2 in their last 10, Joe. But, you know, after a slow start, who's kind of led this team in your eyes?
Marchand's definitely one of them, having a career year, you know, still has a shot at 40 goals, and has been just a dynamic offensive player for them, and but a good leader, too. You know, he's a guy that I think when he first came into the league and even when he was coming out of juniors, I don't know if people ever viewed him as the guy that was going to be a leader type in a dressing room and that was going to be one of those veterans that could really help lead the way and be kind of a model for other players. But he's done it on the ice every single night. He's set a tone energy-wise and, you know, has really set an expectation as to what everybody else needs to bring to the table consistency-wise and effort-wise on a nightly basis. And, you know, of course, you put his partner on that line, Patrice Bergeron, in that category too. You always know what you're going to get for him. He's really the heart and soul of that team. And, you know, Louis Erickson's been outstanding. He's having a really good season. He's put up good numbers. You know, Krejci has tailed off a bit lately, but he was a guy that the four of them were really powering the offense for a long time. But now you're starting to see other players fly. Pasternak scored a bunch of goals lately. Krejci's really formed some nice chemistry with him. Tuukka Rask has a .940 save percentage during five-on-five play since the trade deadline. Lee Stempniak has been outstanding on the right side with Bergeron and Marchand. You're starting to see other players like that emerge, and you're also seeing a much tighter defensive unit that's limiting other teams' chances and not quite as bad as it was for most of the season. So, you know, they could use a few more productions in spots, especially in the bottom six, but it's definitely been a much greater group effort lately, and that's why they're 5-0-2 since the trade deadline.
Which of those two guys that they acquired at the trade deadline, in Lee Stempniak and John Michael Lowes, has been more important to this team?
Yeah, I think it's been Stempniak. I mean, the numbers bear that out. And really, that's been a revolving door all year, that right wing. And to start getting some production out of that spot, I think has even taken them to another level. So I think on the surface, you would say Stempniak. But I really don't think you can undersell either what John Michael Lowes has done. They needed another puck-moving defenseman badly, a veteran guy, a guy that wasn't going to panic under pressure, that you know was going to be able to really have the skill and the mind and the will to move the puck up the ice fast and get it out of the D zone. And, you know, for the most part, over the last few games, he's been on that right side with Zdeno Chara in the top pairing and allowed them to go, you know, big, strong, stay-at-home guy on one side and a slick puck mover on the other. And it's been a spot that they had been searching for a guy to play with Chara all season long, whether it was Kevin Miller, Zach Trotman, you know, a bunch of young guys, Adam McQuaid, guys that either aren't suited for that role or aren't ready for that role that they were plugging in there. So I would say they both made a huge difference. It's just that John Michael Lyles, maybe you're not noticing as much because the points aren't there and, you know, the flash isn't there, but he has been addressed a huge need for this team since he came on board.
Joe Haggerty joins us from Comcast Sports in Boston. They're on the road in San Jose tonight. Joe, 2 years ago, Patrice Bergeron had 11 power play points in 80 games. Last year, he had 16. He's got 23 already. Clearly, he's become kind of the go-to guy on their power play. Has that been the change? Why is suddenly Bergeron the go-to guy?
Yeah, because they redesigned the power play, and they put him in that bumper role in the slot, where a lot of the offense goes through him, and they had a ton of success with it, especially earlier in the year. They're basically number one in the league in power play for the first, you know, half to two-thirds of the season. They've slacked off a bit lately. The results haven't been there as much, and I think it's because other penalty kills and other coaches saw what they were doing, and they've really collapsed on Bergeron a lot and tried to slow him down a bit lately. And, you know, at points, it's opened things up for some other players, and the Bruins have tried to adjust and do some different things design-wise with the power play and, you know, trying to get a little more motion and sometimes get the penalty kill on their heels with the way they enter the zone. But, you know, Bergeron, by and large, has been outstanding this year. And Louis Erickson, I would put in that category, too, because he's been instrumental on that top power play unit, being the body that gets in front of the net and tips pucks and screens the goalie and does some of the dirty work there. So no doubt they've both been huge difference makers. And, you know, obviously the power play numbers for Bergeron are spiking his offensive numbers. Same with Louis Erickson, who could get close to 30 goals and 60 points this year. And, you know, same with Marchand, who wasn't even getting power play time last year, which seems ridiculous now. But he's been helped by that as well. So, you know, they have to hope, though. It's been a little slumping lately. They have to hope, both penalty kill-wise and power play-wise, they can get back to what they did really well, because they relied on it for a lot of their success this year, and it hasn't been as good maybe last month, 6 weeks.
Joe, Lee Stempniak, it's only been 7 games. He's got 6 points, and he's, you know, he's slotted right in 5-on-5. On their top line in Boston with Bergeron and Marchand. Why the instant chemistry? Why is he being such a good fit?
Well, because he skates with them in the offseason.
Okay.
Because he's around them a lot. He lives in Boston in the summertime, and he works out with them at captain's practices. He worked out with Bergeron this offseason. You know, he's around a lot, whether it was during the lockout a few years back or just basically in the summertime in the early fall. Before everybody goes to training camp. So there was already sort of that built-in chemistry and comfort with those players. And, you know, this actually it raises an interesting question. It's been a bit of a criticism for Don Sweeney in making this move, because they could have had Lee Stempniak for a very small guaranteed contract at the beginning of the year, the one that he basically signed with the Devils for $850,000 when nobody really wanted him. He ended up going to New Jersey on a PTO and earned himself a job in training camp. But, you know, if you're a GM like Don Sweeney, and you can see the chemistry that he has with those players because he's with them and around them so much, and you see that he really couldn't fit into your group nicely, and you also see pretty clearly that he's got gas left in the tank and he can contribute, you could have had him for a lot less in just the minimum contract in the fall rather than having to give up a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick at the deadline for him. But, you know, hindsight being 2020, they have him now. He's worked out really well. And given that they've signed him or they traded a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick for him at the deadline, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he ends up getting a contract extension out of this and stays in Boston, because he makes just too much sense, given all the factors involved, to stick around, and he's been such a good fit.
Another guy I wanted to talk about briefly was the Frank Vetrano being recalled. He's probably one of the best players, if not the best, this season in the AHL. What do you expect from him coming back up from Providence to Boston?
I expect him to shoot the puck a ton. I think that's his bread and butter. He's a shooter. He's not really a playmaker. 31 goals in 31 games in the AHL. He really tore it up when he went back down there after being up with the Bruins for a while. And clearly he had to work on a little bit more of his game. And, you know, he'd started shooting the puck a little less, and maybe his confidence was lessened when he was up here. But he just needs to do what he does at the AHL and do it up here. He's a good skater. He's not afraid to get his nose dirty and battle for pucks, even though he's not the biggest guy. And he's got one of the best shots on the team, if not the best shot in the Leafs on the team. So if he plays with decent players, they can get him the puck in good situations, and he's looking for his offense. I expect him to light it up at this level, just like he was in the American League.
Joe, what about Brett Connolly? You know, it was a high draft pick in Tampa Bay, ended up getting traded to Boston, had a great start, then got injured. You know, on the lines anyway, it looks like he's on the fourth line. Is Connolly a guy that still wants you? You know, leaves you wanting more. You know, what's kind of happened to him in Boston?
Yeah, I think he's in that category a little bit. It's unfortunate, but I think that's what's going on. He had they went out and got Stempniak because Brett Conley hadn't been able to get the job done with Bergeron and Marchand, despite a long chance to play in that position. And really, that's such a plum role for any right winger, mm-hmm. To be skating with those other two players. And, you know, he went, I think, 30, 35 games with one goal, really had a hard time generating offense. I mean, he was doing some good things. He'd net drive to the net and open up passing seams and shooting seams for the other two players. But in a top six role, you want a guy like that that has some offensive skill and some size. And obviously his talent, because he was drafted so high in the first round, to do a lot more. Wasn't able to do it. They had to go out and trade Stempniak, and now he's all the way down to the fourth line. And that might be his best chance he's ever going to get in the NHL to prove he's a top six forward. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen for him in Boston.
One last one for you, Joe, for me anyway. Looking at at them moving forward, you've talked about Louis Erickson. Everybody was wondering, are they going to trade him? There was negotiation trying to get a deal done. It didn't happen. Do you think they get a deal done, or does he test free agency come summer?
Yeah, I still think he tests free agency. I think their best chance to get a deal done was with that, you know, that deadline of the trade deadline to get negotiations done. And, you know, they weren't really even that close. You know, Louis Erickson wants 5 or 6 years at $6 million or there around per year on a contract. The Bruins were somewhere around 4 years and $20 million, which is not close to what he wanted. And they put a certain value on the player. I think if he comes in at what they want, they would be happy about it and they would keep him. But I think they're very wary of getting into a 5 or 6 year deal with a guy that's going to be 31 in the summertime, has some concussion history, and isn't the fastest guy in the world. And, you know, it's going to lose a step or two along the way and maybe not be as effective as he is now. So, you know, if things were right, they would get a deal. He'd almost have to take a hometown discount to stay with the Bruins. I just don't see him doing that. He's going to make a lot of money and maximize what he's worth this summer. And, you know, nobody begrudges him that at all, because he should get exactly what he feels he's worth and what the market will bear. But he's such a valuable player as far as points, goals, two-way play, plays in all situations. The coaching staff trusts him implicitly. I think a guy like that is going to find a team that's willing to give him exactly what he wants this summer, and I don't think it's going to be the Bruins.
What does he want?
Like I said, 5, 6 years, $6 million a year. He wants something in that range. You know, that's what he's looking for, and that's what he wanted. They were in the area of 4 years and $20 million for him before the trade deadline, and he wasn't going for it. So, you know, I think he thinks he's a lot worth a lot more. And like I said, he's going to end up with 30 goals and 60-plus points. So, you mm-hmm. know, we'll see what happens. But there are also some pretty big names that might be out there in free agency, Opozo, Lucic, guys like that. But I don't know if every team's going to have that kind of money to give all of these guys their contracts. So we'll see what happens. But my instincts tell me he's going to go somewhere else.
Joe, enjoy the West Coast tonight. We appreciate your time.
You got it, guys. Take care.